I do have interview for MIT at the beginning of September. So Johnny's asked me to do a series on Philippians. So if you'd like to turn to Philippians 1, this will be the first of a few sermons on Philippians. And he did ask me to make the joke of Philip and Ian, but... So, where did the Philippian church start? So if we go right back to Acts, and I'll read little bits from Acts for you. The Philippian church started when Paul and Silas visited Philippi. And one of the first people that became a Christian was Lydia. Paul was actually preaching to a group of ladies, and we don't really see that much in the New Testament of people preaching to groups of ladies. So for me, that stuck out for me, and it's nice that he's done that, and the first fruit of the Philippi church, or the Philippian church, was a lady. The next thing he did was he cast out a demon of a woman that was telling everybody that Paul had got the answer that Jesus was the Saviour. And I sort of read through that and it's like, why is he doing that? The woman's telling everybody his job. But the answer comes in, it's the wrong source. Why would you want something that's not of God telling you about God? It doesn't sit right with what God wants and God wants for us to do. So because of that, this lady that was demon-possessed was earning a lot of money for people in Philippi. And because of her losing that power through that demon, Paul and Silas were thrown in prison. And it's in prison where the next batch of the Philippi church started. So they're in prison. They've been lashed and they've been put in stocks. And it's the middle of the night and they are praising Jesus. There's an earthquake. The prison shakes. All the doors are opened. All the chains are loosed. The jailer has a panic. He thinks, everybody's going to run away. I'm going to kill myself before anybody does anything. Paul stops him. And he rushes to Paul and he says, how can I be saved? And Paul tells him, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. The jailer fed Paul, and immediately the jailer and all his household became saved. So there we have where the Church of Philippi started. And when we now come to the book of Philippians, Paul's back in prison. It's not 100% sure of which prison he's in, but we think it's when he was in the Roman prison. So Paul is there, and I'm going to read from Philippians 1, verse 3 to 7. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. So I want to concentrate on verse 6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So I'm going to cut this down into three. And as I was thinking about what I was speaking on this morning, it's three W's. And it's nothing to do with internet, because I have no dot at the end. So it's the first one is who. So, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. So he that started the good work is God. The verb used here means to inaugurate. And the only other place that this word is used in the New Testament is Galatians 3, verse 3. And here it says, "Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, you are now trying to finish by means of the flesh." So it's a start. But it's something that was planned and executed to perfection. And that's for each and every one of us that knows God. So, who will carry it on? God will. God's saying he will carry on that work until completion, till the day of Jesus Christ's return. We know that God's word is the truth. So the third part of that is who. It's God who starts, God who completes, and it is God who guarantees. It is his promise. It is his word of truth. So, a brief on the who. I'm going to go into what, but I'm going to come back to the who as well. So, what? So, what does it mean for us? Well, it actually means that we need to do some work as well. It's not just God. We have to play our part. And if we go back to Philippians 3 and verse 5, it says, "Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." He's stating there that those who started the church in Philippi have been in partnership with the gospel from that very first day until now. They have persevered in the gospel and in sharing that gospel. And if we go back into Acts, when Paul and Silas are actually released from jail, they don't walk out of jail, the magistrates know that they're Roman citizens and they are commanded to be released from jail. And the first thing that they do when they are released from jail is they go back to Lydia's, and we see that it goes back to Lydia's and meets with Lydia and the brothers, or in some versions it says brethren. So Lydia's not being quiet. It's not just Lydia that's got saved. There are others. So she has been sharing the gospel that Paul shared with her. And that's a template for us. That's a template for us to use. So I've quite often used some of these scriptures in other sermons. Matthew 28, the Great Commission, is to go out and make disciples, baptizing in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that Jesus has commanded. Ephesians 2:10, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do." So it's not a case of we accept Jesus as our Saviour and that's it. Pastor Johnny said it in the weeks past. If that was the case, then as soon as we made a decision, we'd be in heaven. But how did, and I know Pastor Johnny said this last week, how did Billy Graham become the man that he became? Somebody witnessed to him first. Reinhard Bonnke. Johnny Haig. Yeah. You know, part of the works thing for me, I met Johnny about 25 years ago. When Johnny was at Renthorpe under Don Tillett. I became a Christian then, so it'll have been end of 94, beginning of 95. Knowing, and I'm going to come into this as well later, I went to Florida in 1999, and I went to an Assemblies of God church, I've been told about this church at a meeting previous. I was attending Assemblies of God Church at the time. We had a guest speaker, and the guy had just come back from Florida and said, there's this great church in Orlando. It's huge. There's a choir of 300, well over 1,000 members of the church. So the first Sunday I'm in Florida on my holiday, we went to this church. So we went to the evening service because we'd holiday rep meetings and all sorts going on Sunday morning. So we arrived at this church that's got this 300 choir, and we pulled into the car park, and there's about as many cars as there is out there. And I was like, this isn't a right big meeting. And we walked in, and I bet the meeting that I walked into was smaller than what we have here now. And it was one of their many pastors. He was talking about some of the work that he'd been doing, outreach work in South America. So to cut a long story short, first thing he did was, who's visiting? So half the congregation put their hand up and said they were visiting. And he went round asking people individual questions, and he said to us, where are you from? Say, oh, we're from England. How long you been here? We arrived yesterday. So one of the first things you've done before going into theme parks is come to church. Yeah. So he's like bullying us up, but it's like, it's just what we did. After the meeting, he asked all those that were visiting if he could pray for us. So he came and prayed for me. And this is the first inkling that I had of what God was calling me to. And he said to me, ah, you're a minister. Ah, no, not yet. So this is 1999, so 20 years ago. 20 years ago next month, because it was August that I went to Florida. So I had an inkling that there was stuff to be done. Going back again, I was at a different church to Johnny by this time. But Johnny, for those that know him, when he makes a friend, that friend's for life. And he doesn't forget friends. I know there's people that he still visits from when he was at Renthorpe Mission, and we have conversations about these people. Over the next 20 years, Johnny would always visit me. It was very rare that I would visit Johnny, but Johnny would always call. And his call had always come at the most opportune times for it to come. And it's how we ended up here 2 years ago. I was treasurer at Ealing Home Valley, and I knew I was coming up for retirement, and I knew I needed to do something because I was retiring. Part of my testimony, and you can ask me about it later if you want, is why didn't I go into ministry when I was called? I didn't. I carried on in the fire service because I knew God had work for me to do in church when I retired. I've been toying with MIT, and Johnny had been pestering me for probably the last 5 years to apply for MIT. And he's given me the opportunity here to share and do that here as long as I get through interview. So I just want to thank Johnny for what he's done and his perseverance. And that's what they did, Philippi. They persevered. And it's that perseverance that gets people where they need to be. And if I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing, then what's happening to the people that I should be reaching? And that's the same for each and every one of us. Doesn't matter whether you're called to make tea, whether you're called to be a pastor, whether you're called to clean toilets, whatever your calling is, you will reach somebody. You will reach somebody with the gospel because you will be doing it for God. Let's get back to where I were. So, what? Ephesians 4:15. 4:11 to 15. It's quite a long one, so I'm just going to read this to you. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and the teachers to equip his people for works of service. again, the word works, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. For him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. At the moment, I've just been talking about each individual's work. We have work to do. That work comes together to build the church of Jesus. It's his church. And if we don't do that work that brings us together to build us together, the church, we say the church fails, but the church won't fail because God's in it. But we have to play our part. So going back, I've got the bullet point. Verse 5 of Philippians states, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, perseverance. And it's that perseverance. And that's where I look at Johnny. He persevered and persevered with me. And for those that know me, I not only served in Renthorpe, but I served at Huddersfield with Johnny as well. And it's a funny circle, isn't it? Johnny introduced me to Huddersfield. And I got involved with what was the 611 ministry, which was outreach to the prostitutes, the homeless, the alcoholics. Johnny led a team there. I became part of Johnny's team. I ended up becoming a team leader myself. And then I ended up as chair of the committee of the 611. So in a sense, I actually became Johnny's boss, as I like. Things change, don't they? Yeah. Not that I was much of a boss. Yeah. I chaired the meetings. So it was like sort of a boss, but you just sort of made sure the meetings went smoothly. But it's got me to where I am here today. And so the last scripture I've got on the why, and it's 2 Peter 1, verse 3 to 8. And it's another long scripture, but hopefully I can break it down into little bits for you. So 2 Peter 1, verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us the very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome in the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Two bits that I've highlighted that stuck out to me. Him who called us, and make every effort to confirm your calling. And it's not a calling to be a pastor. Jesus called us to be saved. We were chosen, and that's the crux of it. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises. The promises. God speaks the truth, and his promises will stand forever. We are part of those promises. And then you've got your list. And it's an ongoing list. It's your faith doesn't reach its peak before you get the goodness. Goodness doesn't reach its peak before you get the knowledge. It's for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure. So each one follows each one, but each one we should still be attaining to. And again, this scripture says we're attaining to become more like Jesus. We're trying to attain his attributes. And the end one is love. God is love. And that's how the church grows, because we are together, we build up together, and we love one another. Mm-hmm. So, going back to Philippians, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ, or the day of Christ Jesus. So we know it's God who called us, it's God who chose us, it's God who began the work. God will complete it, and he guarantees he will complete it. And I've just remembered Philippians 2 verse 13, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. So the works that he's got for us, he will work with us to achieve those goals. I know it's been a brief one this morning, but I hope that you've all got something from it, that we have a purpose. I know Johnny spoke about how to find your purpose a couple of weeks ago. God started that work in us. God will complete that work in us, and he guarantees that work in us. We are saved. We have somewhere to go. And that is what we need to take out there and share with everyone out there, so that they will know that there is a God who loves them, who doesn't want them to go to hell. God doesn't send people to hell. People send people to hell. God has sent his son so that we may not, so that we have that choice. We make that choice to serve him. Praise God. So let me pray.